Thank you. That was lovely. Thank you. At some point, many people raised a question, even just to themselves, why was I born? What is my purpose in life? As one person said to me, I can't believe I came into this world to go to school, grow up, have a career, get married, have some kids, be a grandfather, retire, and die. He said, there must be some other reason for my existence, one that would change this world that is full of pain and suffering, inequality and cruelty that is sometimes unimaginable. This man was right. There is a purpose for our birth, but it really has nothing to do with fixing the outer world. Jesus said, for this purpose I came, I was born, to bear witness to truth. I know a 15-year-old young lady, and it's very clear where she's headed and how she's going to get there. In spite of the difficulties that she's had in her very young life, she knows exactly what university she is going to go to and that she will eventually go to law school. She has been an honor student since the 7th grade, and I have no doubt that she will eventually be a lawyer. And I know this because divine science says that like begets like. That which we hold in mind as real and true for us, we will experience. Now, some may say that the purpose of the 15-year-old is to become a lawyer, but maybe it is for her to help others have a better life. And this young lady may believe that. She may believe that is her purpose. But in reality, it isn't. You see, she was born with a purpose just like you and just like me. And that purpose has nothing to do with the material world. We were created by the Creator. Our divine science teaching says the purpose of creation is that the Creator may express, and the purpose of individual creation is that the Creator may be expressed through and by the individual. We are to carry on God's work, which means that we are to be the instrument for God's expression, activity, and action. We do this by right thinking and right speaking. Jeremiah tells us, man is to cultivate this right seed by his correct thinking and thus fulfill the purpose for which he was created, to be a fixed center of action in the infinite one. It is when we either do not understand what it means to fulfill God's purpose or choose to use our talents and gifts for our own personal gain that we end up with a life of confusion, loss, and sorrow. We need to understand that our purpose is to be an individualized God activity center where we shall, in fulfilling the Father's purpose of bringing life, peace, harmony, and good to all. Mozart is my favorite composer. In the book, Mozart, A Life, it says, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was considered a genius with remarkable talents at a very young age. He was examined by several eminent observers who authenticated his gifts and issued glowing scientific reports describing his incredible talents. Mozart's family was showered with gifts. They were sponsored on all kinds of trips and good compensation for his performances and many other benefits. His father was very protective of him. He wanted Mozart to continue performing, while Mozart's dream or purpose for being was to become a great composer. As Mozart got older, he pulled away from his father to focus on composing. He had little money. He began to drink, use drugs, and party. He lost his own family and died a penniless man at the age of 35. The only joy he felt was when he was composing his music. Now, Mozart did write beautiful music. Some may say that he was the instrument of God in creating such music. I would say that music was an avenue for Mozart to seek and to know God and to serve God. But he missed the opportunity by keeping his focus on the outer world that cannot fulfill the idea of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, meaning the natural man. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. The first man is of earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The quickening spirit which comes afterward comes from the Christ, the only begotten of God. In divine science, we say that man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with perfect life, perfect love, perfect intelligence, and perfect substance. We are eternally the perfect idea of God. You and I are the divine idea of God, not as human beings, but as the individualized expression of God's divine idea, manifested as his image and likeness. We are the waves, and God is the ocean. There is only one ocean, but many waves. When we can accept and recognize in consciousness who we really are, that is, it isn't until death, but for eternity, then we can truly understand what it means when we say, I of my own self can do nothing. It is the Father within who doeth the works. It is the Father within that fills all in all. At one point or another, we may wonder if we were created out of perfection and wholeness, then what happened? And how do we return to the state of perfection? Every day that we put our faith in the beliefs and things of the world, we are living the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wanted freedom to do it his way. Adam, the natural man, along the way, decided he didn't need God. Divine science tells us that the purpose of life is that God be made manifest and that we may know our true self so that we may know our true sonship. When we have the conscious realization of our real and true being, this is the consciousness of eternal life. While we are still in the spiritual unfoldment process, we must do the things of everyday living. We get an education, we go to work, we take care of families, and we do the things that we need to do out here. However, let us not believe that our resume gets us our job, and that our jobs are our source of abundance, for it isn't. Our resume isn't. It is our consciousness, which filled with beliefs, fears, and ways of doing things, that gives us the experiences out here in the world. What we hold as true and real, we will experience. Some who live by controlling the mental have had the mistaken belief that all they have to do is have good thoughts and deny the bad ones, and their life would be wonderful. Well, many have been surprised to learn that when we live and conduct ourselves outside of the conscious awareness of the presence of God, we are then subjected to the ups and downs and experiences of the world. For what we call good out here is not spiritual, eternal good, for there is only one good, and that is God. And by continuing to live from the five senses, we perpetuate the life of judging by appearances, not understanding God or what it means to have a relationship with God. Whether we live by the mental or the physical, it doesn't matter, for both keep us from experiencing and living the divine idea. We are the divine idea of God. When we look to the human experience for anything, we are putting on the veil of ignorance, creating the appearance that we are separated from God, which sometimes makes us feel like we are in a prison, and in some ways we are. It is the prison of the human consciousness. Jesus said, "I can of my own self do nothing. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is untrue. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." All this, he said, for all time we might see and understand that his human identity was the same as yours and mine. But he also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that seeth me seeth him who sent me. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the resurrection and the life." Now, these statements may seem contradictory, but they aren't. What is true of the human being, which we are expressing right now, is that we are flesh and blood, and we have good traits and we have bad ones. However, at the same time, I, the spiritual identity of you and me, is God. When we have a relationship with God, his attributes will bring harmonious relationships, more financial resources. We may see health problems disappear, and other things may seem to be miracles. Yet what we call miracles is our real state of being. In the human race, they labeled Jesus's work as miracles. When those that went to Jesus because of a problem, no matter what it was, he didn't heal them. He revealed the truth of their being. They, as we are, were made the perfect idea of God. Our lifespan is not from birth to death, where in between we try to fill our existence with as comfortable a living as possible. We have no expiration date. We have lost sight of this and instead have treated God as if he were human, with human qualities. There are those that believe that God punishes people for their acts and is keeping score of their iniquities so that he can judge if they are pure enough to enter his heaven. There is no such God. God is pure divine love. Instead, God says to all, come those that have a heavy heart, and I will comfort thee. He doesn't first say, only those that are good can come to me. No, he knows us as his beloved, and his kingdom belongs to all. God is not human and can never be human. All that we experience, we create with our habitual way of thinking. Fear seems to be the state of mind that plagues us. The problem is, we create a vicious cycle. We fear all kinds of things, then we attract that which we fear. By attracting those negative experiences, we then have data that our fears were justified. We have such a need to be right that even if it means that we end up with more pain and suffering, we continue fighting to be right in our fears. We so believe in the imperfect that most people have accepted the doctrine of original sin. The only sin we commit is delaying knowing truth, the truth of our being and of every living soul. Our problem is that we try to understand God with our intellect, and that cannot be done, for God must be experienced, and it is through revelation that our soul, our heart is filled with spiritual understanding. In the periods of silence, when we let go of the external and turn within for the pure joy of being with God, it is then that His spiritual understanding is awakened in us. It is then that we live not by the sweat of our brow, but by His word, and His presence goes before us, showing us the way, revealing our true and real divine self. This is a step-by-step process, which can appear to be slow at times because we are so consumed with the world. It doesn't have to be slow, but we are so cemented to the belief that we are all, that all we are is human, and that there is no way that we can do what Jesus did. So we make the spiritual unfoldment process a long and slow process for ourselves. Now, anger is the other emotion that is like a brick wall, keeping us from the realization and awareness of our true self. When we get angry, we are basically saying that there is a power equal or greater than God. For if we truly understood that God is the one power, when things of the world happen, like an accident or a conflict with someone else, we would quickly realize that we are responsible for taking our focus off of God, and instead we turned our attention to the external world. One of our founders of Divine Science told us that we are to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing, we first need to establish a consistent and persistent practice of turning within, where God, the divine, is found. If we listen and have faith and quietness, the Christ, the only begotten of God, will lead us to His kingdom, which is our kingdom. Lillian B. Waters tells us that when Jesus was asked, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" He said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He hath sent." Look, behold and believe that Jesus Christ consciousness within us, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King. If we attempt to purify our enlighten ourselves out of our own supply of educated ideas, we do not rise very high. Mr. Waters further says that spirit must bear witness with our spirit that there must be a fountain of stream and a stream of vine and branch of Father and Son. Once it is the Christ within, divine spirit, filling our mind and soul, we will have no memory of past mistakes, past evils or errors, problems, or even present beliefs of those whose vision is fixed upon the Christ within the finished kingdom. We must keep our eye focused on God and truly believe that we are about our Father's business. How and when we are called to be a witness is none of our business. Our business is to be prepared at all times. We must yield to God's will, for Spirit will do the rest. No amount of thinking will give us peace and love and harmony and wisdom that passive understanding. No matter how hard we think, we of our own self can create happiness or supply. We can't. Anything created with the mind will not last. Our thinking, regardless of how many university degrees we have, is still limited. In fact, our thinking is very limited. Only God's mind is infinite. All created by God is everlasting. God does not create limitations or limited things. Every time I speak from this pulpit, my message is the same message. We were made of God, and we are therefore already one with Him. We don't have this awareness because our mind has accepted the false belief that there is something else beside God. For some, this something else is power. For others, it is believing we can fight evil. And still for others, they don't think that they are yet worthy of God's love. But only we can open the door to let God in. God cannot force his way into our consciousness or heart. We have free will to accept and recognize truth or to delay that realization. It is we who turned from him. It is we who must turn to him. Francis de Sales said, "We shall steer safely through every storm so long as our heart is right, our intention fervent, our courage steadfast, and our trust is fixed on God. If at times we are somewhat stumped by the tempest, never fear. God created a finished kingdom. All we ever need, we already have. It has been created. This is why we need not ask God for anything, not a single thing. For he already has given us all. We must place our vision on that which is greater than us. Let us put our vision on the perfect, complete, divine idea. Our purpose is to be the instrument for God to express and manifest out here in the world, for us to continue God's work by being still and quiet. And so it is. Can we put this lesson to practice? Will you join me in our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, relax your bodies. Most importantly, let go of all that has consumed you, not only today, but all week. Just let it go. And turn the attention inward to the indwelling Christ. We are the idea of God. He made us in his image and likeness. So therefore, what is true of the Father is true of all. Let us be still. Let us be still and listen ever so quietly, ever so attentively. Listen within. For our Father is here. He is waiting for us. He is waiting for us to turn to him. He is waiting for our recognition and our acceptance. Let us never forget that we are never alone. We are loved. And we have a kingdom that awaits us. God's kingdom lives within us. It is in the realization and conscious awareness of the Father within that we know our kingdom. Let us listen quietly. And let us know that we need not ask for anything. For we already have everything. Let us still our hearts, our body, and our mind. For the Lord our God envelops us and sustains us. Father, we are so grateful for your spiritual understanding and for your presence ever with us. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you eternal life. Amen. Please stand.